The rain came, wind blew, my house is Lord, right now I just want to focus, focus on what you've done. What a champion you've been for us. Those times where we didn't know if we could take another step. Those times where it was just dark all around us. There was no light that we could see for the next step. Things out of our control. Things we'd put ourselves right smack dab in the middle of. All of it. When things were going great, until they weren't. God, we thank you. We thank you right now. Church, just tell him, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. All those things that come to mind. And we know, God, that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. So we know that we can trust that those things that you carried us through and held us through and lifted us up out of. Lord, if we ever find ourselves in a situation similar, Lord, we know we can trust in you. Lord, help us, strengthen us day by day to keep our eyes on you. So no matter what comes, it won't take us down. We won't be going under. We have hope to keep our eyes up. A light in our eye, a smile on our face, hope in our heart. Because our best days are coming. Amen. Our best days are coming. With you leading us, God, our best days are ahead. For your glory, to further your kingdom, not for us. Thank you, Lord, that no matter what, we're going to make it through. Amen, church? Amen. Put your house on the rock. With you, I'm gonna make it. Rain came, wind blew, my house was built on. As for today, and I'm safe with you, I'm gonna make it. Say, I'm gonna make it. Come on, say it by faith. I'm gonna make it through.
took the oath that he made that's just what the mercy of God can do. Now I'm alive to tell the story how I overcome. It's his goodness and mercy and the power of his blood. And I'm so glad that my freedom wasn't based on what I've done, but the goodness and mercy and the power of his blood. To be 6 feet.
Person. Hallelujah. Sing, I am not alone. I am not alone. God really loves me.
God really loves me. God really loves me.
Let's receive that this morning.
God really loves
as we keep singing, all that are comfortable, lift your hands to God.
God really loves
like a funnel receiving His love, independent of muddied thoughts or confused hearts, independent of what we feel, the fact remains that He loves you. So we lift our hands to You, God, and we receive that love. We receive that love from You. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You for Your love.
Hallelujah.
Never ending.
Oh,
unfailing.
Soul.
We love You,
God,
Jesus.
Really,
God, You love us. We love You because
God,
You first loved
really
us. You show us what love is. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Jesus. Father, we just take a moment this morning in our worship time. We live in these bodies that we carry around, and we want to use those bodies as instruments of worship towards You. So we lift our hands. We lift our voices. We lift our thoughts. We set ourselves in a posture to receive You and to make You big in our lives, to give You importance and priority. We love You, God. We love You, Jesus. Thank You, Father. Amen. 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 As we continue in worship, our ushers are going to pass our offering buckets. If you're a guest with us, don't feel any obligation. This is for us home folks. But also, you can say hello to a few people around you and take your seats. Tell them how much God loves them, and there are people around you that love you as well. You are not alone. You are not alone. I wanted to read a Psalms as we transition here this morning. I'm not sure who this is for, but it's a Psalms I've been reading all week, and it says this in Psalms 143, "Hear my prayer, O Lord, listen to my plea. answer me because you are faithful and righteous. Do not put your servant on trial, for no one is innocent before you. My enemy has chased me, he has knocked me to the ground and forces me to live in darkness like those in the grave. I'm losing all hope. I'm paralyzed with fear. I remember the days of old and I ponder all your great works and think about what you have done. So I lift my hands to you in prayer. I thirst for you as parched land thirsts for rain. Come quickly, Lord, and answer me, for my depression deepens. Don't turn away from me, or I will die. Let me hear your unfailing love each morning, for I am trusting you. Show me where to walk, for I give myself to you. Rescue me from my enemies, Lord. I run to you to hide me. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God, my gracious spirit. Lead me forward on firm footing. Amen. Amen. I don't know who that's for this morning. Maybe it's for all of us, but we can run to God. He is a firm foundation. He cares about you. No matter what you're going through, no matter what you're feeling, you are not alone. You can go to him in prayer, and there are those in this room you can go to. You're not alone in this world. You're not alone in this journey that you're on. Amen? All right. Wow, it's a good morning. I didn't wear green. I know. I know you're thinking. I'm just going to go ahead and state the obvious. I will warn you, though, I adversely react to pinches. So if you pinch me, guard your face. My wife's out of town, so that might explain some of it. It's good to be with you this morning. It's good to be worshiping together. God's a good God, and this is a great place to be. Paris, Texas, on a Sunday morning. He's a good God. Woo! How many of y'all are excited to live in Paris, Texas? Isn't this a great place? We're in the right room, I guess. You want to make the worship team feel awkward? Look in that direction, and we'll just watch them come out the door. Just wave at them. God's good. If you are a guest with us, thank you for coming. We appreciate you being here. There's a card in the seat back, or there's a digital way also online that you can fill out to let us know that you're here as a guest if you want us to know. We'd love to reach out, send you a note of thanks. Also want to let you know we have a gift for you on the way out in the lobby. As you're walking out the door on the right-hand side at the New Here table, feel free to stop by there and talk to our very kind and hospitable ladies there that'd love to meet you and give you that gift. And of course, Pastor G, Pastor Corey, myself, Pastor Will, Melissa, we're all going to hang around and just come say hi. We'd love to meet you. Thank you for being here. We do have a few announcements, and so if you'll turn your attention to the screen now, that'd be great.
What's up, CF Paris? We are super excited that you're here with us today. We have just a few announcements for you. First off,
all right, guys, next Sunday is Palm Sunday, and we are going to have an awesome worship service Sunday, so make sure you're here. We're going to take communion together as a family. There's going to be baptisms, so make sure you're here next Sunday. And then the following Sunday is Easter, guys. We are so excited. We're going to be having two services, 8:30 and 10:30, identical services, child care available at both. So invite your neighbors, invite your family. It's going to be awesome, guys. And in speaking of inviting people, VBX, y'all, it's coming quick. It's early June, June 19th through the 13th. So get signed up, get your kids signed up, volunteers get signed up. We are so excited. It's going to be awesome. We are going to party that week and have so much fun.
And the last thing I want to announce, and I'm really, really excited about this, Pastor Will Walker's coming up right now for his first big stage presence. We're super excited for him. Come on, Will Walker.
He's going to love that. Bye, y'all.
Bye, guys.
For the strength, the courage, Lord God, that Will is standing up here right now for such a time as this because of the anointing and the calling that you have on his
his life. Lord God, let your spirit flow through him and fill us in such a mighty way that we leave here, Lord God, excited about what it is that you're doing in our lives, Lord Jesus. All this we pray in the name of your son. Amen, amen, amen.
Okay. I don't know how this is going to go. First off, let me just... So a couple weeks ago, Corey was talking about this weekend. He said that they call me Honey Bun. I need to just... Okay, this is a jumbo honey bun, right? If you butterfly it, turn the sticky sides in and butter the outside and then pan fry it, it'll change your life. That's where that name came from. So I've got a lot of notes. I've thought and prayed a lot about this. When Corey and I first talked, we talked about what I would speak on, and worship is just more natural to me. Definitely not standing up here in front of people talking. He said, well, why don't you just call it Why I Worship? And so, to me, that sounds like it's going to take some personal perspective. And at first, when I started trying to write stuff out, I thought, okay, well, if I'm going to talk about why I worship, then I need to talk about what worship really is and start looking in the Hebrew and looking in the Greek and all this stuff. And I can study that stuff, but that's not who I am, I guess. Like, I can tell you more about how God's worked in my life, and it's going to mean a lot more. There's definitely people more qualified to give you all of that information, so... I don't know how long this is going to go. Probably not very long. But I've been told nobody would be really mad about that. So, to understand why I worship, I think it's important to understand some of my story. Let me just tell you, I was born into a Christian home. My dad was actually an associate pastor, Southern Baptist, you know. Mom pretty much led worship wherever we were. Dad played the piano. They were a team, a duo, and whether it was a big team or a small team, they were always involved. And not only that, Dad did a lot of children's ministry or youth ministry and stuff. So basically every time the doors were open, we were there. I don't remember if we unlocked, but we were there all the time. So I got saved at a young age and just, you know, growing in Christ and everything. Like, tried to do what I thought was right. And I think I got kind of hung up on what a Christian looks like instead of who a Christian is. And so years go on, we moved around a lot. And that's not really easy. I hope I'm really messing with the camera guys, by the way, because this is just what it's going to look like. I don't know. I was really worried about what I'd do with my hands. We moved around a lot, and by the time I was, 12, 13, we had moved to Florence, Alabama. We had lived, I'm from North Louisiana. We moved pretty quick over to Fort Worth so Dad could go to seminary, and then, Pineville, Baton Rouge, all over the state of Louisiana, and then we moved to North Alabama, and that was where we stayed the longest. We were at a Baptist mission that really turned more non-denominational the longer it went on. And so I was, you know, coming up in the youth group and everything. People kind of looked to me, and I love talking to people and encouraging people. But I started to feel like God was wanting more from me in my life. And I wasn't too sure about that, because moving around, it was hard. Restarting, resetting, it was tough. And so I decided that's kind of what ministry looked like, and I really didn't want any part of it. And it wasn't like an immediate thing where I just, you know, turned 180 degrees and started going in the absolutely opposite direction. It happened a little bit over time, and I'd let things creep in or I'd let things slide. But it got to the point where I was not at all living for God. I was partying a lot, drinking most of the drugs that you could name. I did them. And just refusing to listen to that call that God had on my life. I got two DUIs in Alabama. I was actually in jail for violating my probation when I think I'd been in there about 40 days. Finally, my parents worked it out. They made a plea agreement like, hey, if you'll leave the state and finish your probation and all this stuff, then we'll let you out, you know. So cut that short, and we moved back to my parents' hometown, Bastrop, Louisiana. And so I had, you know, rehab stuff I had to do. I had to do AA and stuff like that. And I don't want to say I did good, but it was a while before I started getting caught again. Let's see, it would have been November of 2007. I got my first DUI in Louisiana. March of 08, I got my second. And then April, I got my third. And I can remember, so the last one was a Saturday night. I had to call home early, early Sunday morning. It was April the 7th. My mom had to call out of church that morning. She was supposed to sing the special. Couldn't do that because she had to come pick me up. On top of that, it was her birthday. So I was a great son. I mean, like, they thought I was awesome. No. But I can remember sitting in the car in front of the bail bondsman's office, talking to my mom about just how miserable I was. And I knew, like, somehow Louisiana didn't find out about Alabama, and so they weren't stacked up, but I was on number three, which was a felony, so they were going to give me 2 to 10. And I remember just sitting in that car, just so broke and so ashamed of who I was and where my choices had gotten me. And Mom asked me, like, well, have you talked to God about it? I was like, are you kidding? You know where I've been. God, he's not listening to me. He can't hear me. He's not even trying to. I knew better, but I didn't want to admit that. I didn't want to surrender. But I'd come to the point to where I had to. And so I cried out to God right there. And he was right there. He picked me up and he pulled me out of the misery that I had found myself in. Wasn't nobody's fault but mine. So went from there to, well, now we got to do something about it. And so I ended up going to Teen Challenge in Midland, Texas. If y'all don't know about Teen Challenge, it's a year-long discipleship program. And basically, any kind of addiction or hang-up that you've got, it's because, sorry, Greg. Any kind of addiction or hang-up you've got, it's something that you're putting in front of God. And mine, you know, seemed to be more my pride, my desire for autonomy, wanting to be my own person and make my own decisions. I thought that there were a lot of things that I could have done, but nothing ever seemed right. Like I thought, well, okay, well, maybe I'll be a doctor, you know, but it seemed like a whole lot of school. Maybe I'll be a lawyer. Well, again, a whole lot of school, a lot of late nights, that kind of thing. I really wanted to be a psychologist. I liked counseling with people. I liked talking with people, or really just kind of a one-on-one thing where they do most of the talking, because that's kind of my wheelhouse. But, you know, I ended up getting discouraged because somebody told me, well, you know, you're going to have to get a doctorate to actually do anything with a psychology degree. So I was like, well, never mind. So I never really knew what I wanted to do. I just knew what I didn't want to do, right? Going to Teen Challenge changed my life. I mean, it was like Bible 101. And I had to start over. I got frustrated because I felt like I already knew all the stuff that we were learning, but I'd never really understood. I never really applied it. I wasn't living any of it. Like I said, these notes are all over the place. I don't know if I'll find my way back. When I was doing my own thing, I played a lot of music out in bars and clubs and stuff, and it seemed really cool. It was a party. It was a good time, and people loved it. You know, people would adore me or whatever. You know, they were into it, but it took me being that broken to know that I wasn't worthy of any of their admiration, any of their praise. Only God is worthy of that. So, I worship because God never left my side. He never turned his back on me, no matter how many times I turned my back on him, no matter how many times I ran and tried to hide. And I found that worship comes from the heart. It comes from the soul as a revelation of the power of the gospel changing everything. You know, guys, I've got a lot of notes here. In John chapter 4, verse 23, Jesus says, "A time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship him in spirit and in truth." And when Jesus was talking to the Samaritan woman in that passage, it wouldn't It wouldn't matter anymore where they worship God. They had a lot of rules for how worship had to be done. You know, had to be at the Temple Mount or whatever, had to be done a certain way, a certain place. But Jesus was telling this woman that to worship in spirit and in truth means with your whole heart, with everything you've got, sacrificially, holding nothing back. And that's where I had to come to. You know, going through what I went through and laying everything down, deciding that, okay, whatever God's will is for my life, I'm going to do it. It was so hard, honestly, to put my pride and my selfishness away. But when I did, I started to see Matthew 6:33 in my life. When I started to seek Him first, God gave me everything that I'd always dreamed of. Like, I never knew for sure what I wanted to be, but I knew that I wanted to be a husband, that I wanted to be a dad. And I met my wife in Midland. My beautiful wife, Molly, who is crazy about me. Thank you, Jesus. And I was actually told by my daughter that when I've spoken in times past, I haven't spoken about her. So let me just say, Evie and I are so much alike. I mean, we look alike. We think alike. We act alike in a lot of ways. We were talking not too long ago about how we don't really like confrontation. We don't like to be uncomfortable, make anybody else uncomfortable like that. But it's just that we're not trying to argue. We just need you to know that we're right. Like, if that leads you to your own conclusion about whether or not you're right, that's you know, it's in your hands. But that's my Evie. And Jack, who basically thinks I'm the greatest thing in the world. And Buddy, who's probably better than me and Molly combined. God's given me so much. So, Romans 12:1 says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. And other versions say this is your reasonable act of worship. Well, true worship is the outpouring of our spirit towards God in response to the truth of God. Worship comes from the heart. And that doesn't have anything to do with anybody else. It doesn't have anything to do with anybody around you. It doesn't have anything to do with your circumstances. It doesn't have anything to do with your hang-ups. It's a love and devotion to God who has created us with a purpose. He loves us more than we can imagine. And we get to worship. We get to worship Him. We were at a church in Midland. I'm not even using these. We were at a church in Midland, and it was a pretty good sized church. They had an awesome worship team, very polished, very professional, and I mean, it was awesome just to be a part of that worship service. I wasn't on the team or anything, but I remember there was one time the worship team did a song by Hillsong called Hosanna. And That was, what, 2013? There's a part in that song that says, "Break my heart for what breaks yours." Later that afternoon, Molly told me that in the middle of that lyric, that she was praying to God, just crying out, like, "Why can't I sound that beautiful when I sing? Like, why can't I lift a voice that beautiful? I mean, you got me married to a guy who sings and plays guitar. Why can't I do that? Why can't my worship be that beautiful?" And as clear as day, she heard God say, "But it is. It is, because your worship is coming from your heart. Your worship is not about what it looks like to somebody else. It's not about how you're trying to appear to anybody else or what somebody else might think. Worship is really a wholehearted devotion to God in every circumstance, in every aspect of your life. You don't just come in here on Sunday to worship for 30 minutes. You worship throughout the week. You worship your whole life. Like, I have to remind myself when I start feeling like I'm not good enough or I can't do it, or I've messed up so much, I'm never going to be able to do this or that. It's because I'm trying to do it on my own. I'm trying to do it in my own strength. But if I set my sights on God, on giving Him my worship, everything else just falls into place. So, there's a lot of stuff I thought about saying that I didn't. There's a lot of times that I probably got lost. But we've got an awesome worship service coming up next week for Palm Sunday. We're going to have baptisms. It's going to be incredible. Now, I want you to think about this week what your true worship really looks like, what it means in your life. And actually, if I could have the worship team come back up, I want to end with just a little bit of worship, because I mean, I can stand up here and give you little anecdotes or things or whatever, not very skillfully, but I can stand up here and fill 30 minutes, apparently. But what I'm really passionate about is worship, because it just brings me back to knowing and to signifying to everyone that it's all about Him, not about me. I don't have to worry about when my voice cracks, because my worship doesn't come from my throat. My worship comes from my heart. So I want to sing one more song. And I want to say, as I do, the Psalms talks about several different kinds of worship. One of them being lamentations. And over the past several years, I've had a lot of opportunities to worship in and through Lamentations. Right after we moved here, we lost my father-in-law to cancer. Not long after that, we lost my brother-in-law to a car wreck. And then this last year, we lost my dad to cancer as well. And if I was just basing my worship off of how I felt, I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be up here. But I give God my worship because he is worthy no matter what. No matter what. All my words fall short.
No, stand with us,
please. I've got nothing new. How could I express all my gratitude? I could sing these songs as I often do. Every song must end, but you never do. So I throw up my hands and praise you again and again. 'Cause all that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah. And I know it's not much, nothing else fit for a king, except for a heart singing hallelujah, hallelujah. I've got one response, and I've got just one move. With my arms stretched wide, I will worship you. So I throw up my hands and praise you again and again. 'Cause all that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah. And I know it's not much, I've nothing else fit for a king, except for hearts singing hallelujah, hallelujah. So come on, my soul, don't you get shy on me, lift up your soul. 'Cause you've got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. Come on, my soul, don't you get shy on me, lift up your song. 'Cause you've got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. Come on, my soul, oh, don't you get shy on me, lift up your song. 'Cause you've got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. Oh, come on, my soul, oh, don't you get shy on me, lift up your song. 'Cause you've got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Hallelujah, hallelujah.
I'm nothing else before King, except for a heart singing hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, 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 oh. So come on, my soul, oh, come on, my soul. Don't you get shy on me, lift up your soul. 'Cause you got a lion inside of those arms. Get up and praise the Lord. Come on, my soul, don't you get shy on me, lift up your soul. 'Cause you've got a lion inside of those arms. Get up and praise the Lord. Come on, my soul. Oh, don't you get shy on me. Lift up your song. 'Cause you've got a lion inside of those arms. Get up and praise the Lord.
Yes, Lord Jesus. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much, Lord Jesus, that of all the gifts in this world, Lord God, of all the beauty that you laid out before us, Father, all that you ask for is a heart that says hallelujah. A heart that cries hallelujah.
Oh, come on, my soul. Don't you get shy on me. Lift up your soul. 'Cause you've got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. Come on, my soul. Don't you get shy on me.
Shout that again, church. Cry it out from your heart.
except for King, except for a heart singing hallelujah.
God, let your name be glorified through our worship, through our hearts, through our Lord Jesus, just our adoration, through our everyday, through our walk, through our lives, through our submission, the recognizing, Lord God, that you are enough. You are everything. There's no pursuit of my own, Lord God, that will attain any beauty, anything, Lord God, of greater value than what I am right now. And because of that, Lord Jesus, we thank you. The revelation, Lord God, the beauty that the gospel changes everything. And because of that, our hearts overwhelmingly just flow with joy. Gratitude. Thankfulness, Jesus. Lord God, may your name continue to be glorified as well as presented in everything that we say and everything that we do. God, thank you for Will's testimony and how he worships, Lord Jesus, and how as well each and every one of us have the opportunity to do so as well. Father, this joy, this life, these fruits that come from you, we thank you. In all of this, Lord Jesus, we pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Come on, y'all lift up a shout to the Lord God this morning. Hallelujah. Come on. Guys, God bless you all. Y'all have a very, very wonderful, wonderful St. Patrick's Day. We look forward to next week, Palm Sunday, being able to worship with you. God bless you.